All right, so I'm excited to welcome you. Some people get on and listen to the call recorded if they couldn't make it live, and that's exciting that we have that feature. Also, you can come back on and listen later again if there was something you wanted to hear again or just remember. You'll have access to the recording. How the calls will work this year is generally each of our live conference calls will be 60 minutes, so that's what you can expect. Generally, that's what it will be. Sometimes our speakers will leave 10 minutes at the end for question and answer concerning that day's topic. Sometimes they just go the full time, but if you have questions, please know that you can email us. We love, it's part of what you've paid for is the mentoring, and, of course, a lot of your mentoring questions go to Melanie Hartzell. Sometimes you might have a specific question for one of us who have presented to you on the conference call. And it's fine to send us an email and make sure in the header that you say what it is that you have a Lemmy question, because sometimes we don't recognize who's sending us something. We might not open it. But if you say Lemmy question, then we know, oh, this one is safe to open. Okay, so today's call is called Spiritual Creation and Preparation in Regards to the Needs of the Individual. It's kind of a lot to swallow, so I want to say it again. Spiritual Creation and Preparation in Regards to the Needs of the Individual. Something I want to share with you is every single call that we do is teaching a mentor skill or a principle about mentoring and leadership in your homes and in your classroom and in your communities. And today we have two Lemmy trainers who are presenting. The first is Heidi Christensen that I'll introduce. She has been homeschooling her 5 boys for 15 years. She has been involved in leadership education for over 10 years. Her love of the leadership education paradigm has led her on an incredible journey that's helped her found her local Commonwealth school, write homeschool curriculum, and she travels and does public speaking. She's put on several conferences. She's highly organized. I'll tell you, some of my favorite Lemmy trainings to go to is when she hosts us, because the educational environment and the spirit that she creates where she hosts is so organized and so beautiful. It just flows so smoothly. She is currently the principal mentor in her Commonwealth, and she is one of our Key Liberty Lemmy trainers. And she does all this while she's working on her teaching credential in California and her Master's of Education. So, Heidi, welcome.
Thank you.
I'd also like to introduce our second speaker today, and it's Amy Bowler. Let me tell you a little bit about Amy. She's very passionate about education. She loves mentoring. She loves serving the families and youth in here in St. George and in her own Commonwealth that she's a part of. She is currently serving as the principal mentor also, and she is teaching Georgics this year. She's grateful for the opportunity to train mentors, and she trains the Edison Project, and she's also one of our Quest mentors, and she's even assisted in of Liberty Mentor, and I'm thinking, Amy, you've trained even more than that, right?
I think I've trained SWORD before.
That's what I was going to say, is SWORD. So she's very resourceful, determined, and very caring. Her greatest joys are mentoring with her best friend and husband, Kent, and spending time with her 7 amazing children, 2 grandchildren. She loves hiking, camping, laughing, and reading. I am so excited to have both of these good friends here and to learn from them and to introduce them to you. So go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Tiffany. This is Heidi. I just wanted to start the call by telling you a story about a mentor I had. It was back in 6th grade, and I had been sewing since I was 7, and in 6th grade, I had the first opportunity to have a real sewing class. And I had this wonderful teacher named Phyllis Holmes, And she saw that I could do more than just, you know, sew little pillows and bags. And so she allowed me to do that, and she encouraged me. And by eighth grade, the last year I was in that school, I was her teacher's aide. And when I was that age, you know, in middle school, I was just very, not very confident. I was very shy. I think I wore navy blue every day for an entire year. It was just one of those kids. And through her encouragement and support of just this one interest, it was just this one class a day, she helped me to find my voice. She helped me to see myself as worthy of giving to others. And I really see her as being instrumental in where I am now, because she chose to see me not as just one of many, but to see me as an individual and mentor me in something that, you know, I was passionate about. And I will always be grateful for her and how she changed my life.
I love that story, Heidi. I can just see you in your navy blue. That's fantastic. I think I wore pink for one whole year of junior high, so we would have made a nice combo together. I love the love of that mentor and how they could see you for who you are, and just beyond a name on the paper, and even just a student sitting in the class. We want to talk today about mentoring, as is our favorite topic. But mentoring is not the same as teaching. Mentoring is an art, and it's about people. It's about loving our students and helping them grow. And today we want to talk about three ways that we can prepare to be better mentors. The first way is our spiritual creation. The second is our personal preparation. And the third is focus on loving our students. So the first I want to talk about is the spiritual creation. Spiritual creation is what we talk about when it's basically the planning, but it's in Lemmy, the three words we like to use are know, feel, and do. And really it's gaining a vision for what we want our students to know, feel, and do. And it's something that I, as a mentor, when I'm starting my class, I like to do it with my co-mentor, if I have a co-mentor, for us to do kind of a little vision casting of our class and what it is we see that we want them to know, what it is we want them to feel, what it is we want them to do. We have the mentor manual, and we know what the outline is and what they're going to be learning, whether it's Georgics or Key of Liberty or Shakespeare for the year. But more specifically, we are mentors of this class, and every class is different. And so there's going to be certain things that we feel like our class needs. And that's what the spiritual creation is about, is looking at those things. What do we want them to know, feel, and do? I like to do that for the year and then also for the semester, and then usually in smaller chunks, and then bringing it down to doing it on a weekly basis. Before we go into class the next week, think about what is the know, feel, and do for my students. One of the things that really helps me do that is my mentor reports. And I know in my school, we send our mentor reports to the principal mentor and to the Lemmy trainer, to Melanie this year. And I am the principal mentor, and so I asked a friend of mine who's been the principal mentor in the past if she would be my principal mentor for Georgics, because I know that I need that. I need the accountability of writing about what happened, because it actually helps me with my spiritual creation. It helps me to think about what I want it to be next week as I kind of debrief with myself on paper how it went last week. Then it helps me to think about next week. And our focus today is really on the individual, and remembering that even though we have a class full of students, that we have a class full of individuals. And so when we're looking at the know, feel, and do, it's overall as a class. What do we want them to know, feel, and do? But we're also thinking about maybe a couple of students who might be struggling, and how can we help them to have a better experience and to grow. And looking at that vision, what we want for the week is the first step in the spiritual creation. There's actually two steps. The first is doing the know, feel, do, the vision. And the second is the plan. And that is what Heidi's going to explain.
When you're making a plan, you have taken the time to think about your vision and, you know, what you want your kids to know, feel, and do. And when you sit down to plan, you need to outline for the class specific things that you want them to focus on. But that can kind of seem daunting sometimes. So one thing you can do is go back to the vision, mission, ability, and skills. Use those as a creation tool so that you can test all of your ideas. Okay, will this help? Will this fulfill this for this child? Can, you know, does this child need this skill? And you can look at every single child, and you can look at the entire class as well as a whole, and see what you want them to know, feel, and do, and use those to help you to actually plan. So one thing that last year on a call, there was a book that was suggested, and it was The One Thing, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results, and it's by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And after, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I'm on one of these calls, I'm madly taking notes on all of the books that people suggest. So I wanted to be sure and bring that one up. That I actually listened to that book, and it really made an impact on me. And it was more about your one thing, your why, your mission. But I take that also and put it into the one thing that I want to do for the class. I mean, it's the mission for the class that I'm teaching, the project that I'm teaching, and figure out, okay, the one thing, you can also apply to each child, the one thing that I need to work on with this child today, you know, and how can I do it? And you just break it down and look at these different things to help plan, you know, actually put your plan into onto paper and help you plan to meet the needs for your scholars. It's, I know you have a lot of things going on, but if you take it and break it down and test it on, you know, the know, feel, and do, your vision, ability, missions, skills, all of that will help you put it down on paper and make it less less daunting. It's just a test you can use, you know, just whenever you get an idea, okay, test it against your no feel do, test it against your VMAS, you know, your scholarship ladders, and that will help you, like, eliminate some of the things, but also kind of focus in and really, it's like, okay, yes, I can do this, but let's tweak it a little bit to make it work even better. And I know I've used those a lot to help me prepare and help me get that those ideas down on paper and really make them work for my classes.
I really like that, Heidi. I like that idea of one thing, and how important that is and how it relates to the one student. I'm thinking about a student in one of my classes right now, and actually his mom sent me an email last week just talking about a concern that she had about her son. I was so grateful that she was telling me about it so that I could be aware. Parents are always more aware of their own children than we are, and for us to be on the same page together was so great. And when she talked with me about her son, and she told me about one thing she's focusing on with him, and she's focusing on helping him be more accountable. And she said, and in regards to that, I'm not going to be asking him, you know, did you get this book read? Did you buy the book? Did you get it from the library? And this is a Georgics class, so we have a little bit older students, at least in our class. They're all about 14. And she just told me, you know, as a parent, what she's working on with her student, her one thing. And it helped me as I was creating my plan and my spiritual creation for my class in thinking about this student and how that one thing for the mom, you know, what's something that I could do as his mentor to help him gain that accountability. And the thing I felt like the one thing I needed to do for him was to be inspiring. A lot of times that's the answer for me as a mentor, is the thing I'm supposed to do is to be inspiring so that they'll choose to step up and do the hard things, to step up and be accountable. And so that's kind of my thing that I'm working on with that student. But it's part of the spiritual creation, is taking the time to ponder and think about those things.
It's important to spend that time. And I love that you were able to communicate so well with, you know, that the parent was communicating with you about the student, because that's so important to include the families and the parents and get their input. It makes it so much easier to work with the kids if you have that input.
Yes, it does. Well, so we've got our spiritual creation with our no-feel-do and our plan. And I know for me, some weeks my plan is really detailed and I write out, you know, every 5 minutes. Other weeks it's really rough, like student presentations, then the lecture/discussion, then activity, then questions. You know, sometimes it's really simple. One of the things I forgot to mention is I know for myself it really helps if I write down this spiritual creation, if I write down the no, feel, and do, if I write down the plan, even if it's a really sparse plan, writing those things down helps. Then the second part that we want to talk about today is our personal preparation. And it's related to the spiritual creation, but it kind of goes a step further. And the first thing that I feel really passionate about is our personal virtue. One of the things that we teach in Quest is how to inspire greatness in others. And there are several attributes that it takes to inspire greatness in others. And I'm always looking for ways to inspire, because I feel like it's one of our most important jobs as mentors. And one of the ways that we inspire is with our character. I think of George Washington and his leadership skills and the impact that he had, not only on the nation, but even if you look at the impact that he had on his soldiers, just the immediate people that were around him. One of the things that people often remarked about him was his character, his personal virtue, stood as a beacon to them. And I just feel like it's also a huge part of our personal preparation is that we have that character and that we're continually developing it. It's an important part of being a mentor. And I think we could talk about this for a long time. Personal virtue, to me, it's doing those things that we know we're supposed to be doing and that are most important in my life. I know I am one of those kind of people who has a list a mile long and it's never done, and I'm always feeling like I'm a step behind or a day behind. And so sometimes the concept of personal virtue is one of remembering that, okay, I am on the right course and I do have character. And when I look back on my day or look back on my week, when I write down my mentor report and look at what I did to prepare, okay, I did prepare. I did the spiritual creation. I did make my plan. No, maybe it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted to, but I have personal virtue. I'm on that path. I think about how some weeks, crazy things happen with our families. Maybe all weeks crazy things happen with our families, but some weeks crazier things happen. You know, someone gets sick, we get sick. The neighbor gets sick, grandma gets sick. Just things happen that we couldn't plan for. And the time that I had set aside to prepare for my class is now gone, and I'm left with 1 or 2 hours when I was hoping for 8. And I think the personal virtue comes in when we do the things that are most important that we know we were supposed to do. And some weeks that's preparing for 8 hours, and other weeks it's only preparing for 2 hours, and knowing and being okay with that, and having that confidence in ourselves because we're looking to our higher power and knowing that that it's not always up to us what's the most important thing. And then having peace and knowing, I think just being aware that our character and our personal virtue are really important. I think also it's doing a lot of times, that's really, I just feel like and it's one of the reasons that I love training you as Lemmy mentors, is because I feel your personal virtue coming through. Every time I train a Lemmy class, I can see it in your eyes, and I can feel it, and I can hear it when you tell me about your experiences, that the sacrifices that you're making and the things that you're choosing to do in your life, that's personal virtue, and I just applaud you for that. And remind you that it's a part of what makes you inspiring.
Yeah. That's so true. And I hear a lot of what you're saying. It also applies to the seven habits, one of the seven habits, you know, putting first things first. And that's putting first things first, that's personal virtue, and taking the time to sometimes put yourself first, you know, that you, not them, key to great education, is something that's really hard, especially for parents to take that time, but that is so important.
It is.
Take that time, and, all of you have taken on this commitment. I mean, wow, that is, I just am in awe, you know, of all of us, really. I mean, wow, what we're doing to try and change the world, it's amazing. But, yeah, it does take some, you know, it's a lot of personal virtue, but it does take a little bit of, you know, getting your lives in order. And, you know, I know for me, the way I handle everything I'm doing is every single day. I mean, sometimes it's my mantra throughout the day, but first things first, first things first. You know, you constantly are bombarded with all of these things that you have to do. And it's like, okay, first things first, what is most important? You know, and starting my day with God is how I put first things first. Now, part of your personal preparation for mentoring these projects is, you know, the knowledge part, and that you, not them, is really hard, and sometimes it's just really hard to find that time to study and build that knowledge that you need to inspire this greatness in your scholars and your kids. And it's, you know, I mean, I have five kids. I only have one at home, so it seems right now, so it seems very quiet and like I have all this time, but
but they're never gone, Heidi.
Oh, I know. You still are praying for them and worrying about them. But taking the time to study, taking the time to build that knowledge base and your competence will help your students. It'll help your kids. It'll have, you know, by building yourself up, you're able to give more. And I have found that in so many different aspects of my life. The more I study, the more I prepare, and the more I give, the more I have to give, whether it's in my Commonwealth school, in my home, in my church, the more I build up myself, the more, you know, the more time I spend to build my confidence in different areas, the more I have to give to the world in general. Now, actually finding that time can be hard. I know that. One of the things that has really, really helped me is Audible. I'm able to do dishes, do laundry, be the taxi driver, whatever, while I'm listening to these great books. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we're going to have a book discussion on the fourth turning, and the only way I got through that book, which it's an amazing book with really deep concepts, is I've been able to listen to it like four times on Audible, and that's how I got through it and really got something out of it.
Wow.
I couldn't do it any other way. I just couldn't sit down. I could, you know, when I have a bunch of kids, a bunch of responsibilities, that's what I use. And when we're mentoring these classes, we're asking our kids to do so much. We have to do it as well, because it really, it's showing them by our example that we can do it. We just have to kind of get creative. We're asking them to write all these papers. I know I don't have a lot of time to write all these papers, so sometimes I have to do things a little bit differently. I know when I was teaching Quest, I would sometimes, for the papers, I would sit down, when they're doing their blue books, I would sit down and write my paper then. And so I could participate in that and get that paper done, and then sometimes the rest of my writing would be in my head just because that's all I could do, and I would have to be okay with that just because that's all the time I had. But I would always try and participate in some way and get those things done that I was asking the kids to do. You know, ideally I would do it all, but, you know, as moms, and, you know, we're preparing beforehand as well, and I would also count my preparation as my paper as well, because I would write things out in that way. But that study, that preparation, doing what this we're asking the students to do, don't let it overwhelm you. Put first things first and get what you can done. It might be a shorter paper than you like. It might be, you know, whatever. But when you have that personal virtue, put those first things first, everything else will fall in line, and you will be there. you will get it done. You just need to take, you know, that first things first stance and prepare in that way.
I like that, Heidi. I'm going to add that mantra, first things first. First things, we're going to do it like a chant in our home.
There we go.
Everybody in. First things first. Awesome. Well, the third part of personal preparation is preparing for all the other parts of our class, preparing for the activities, the grading papers, the making the posters, the making the costume, finding the food you want to bring. And a lot of times that kind of preparation can take a long time. And so but it is important. I really like something Heidi was telling me about the other day. She says she likes to have a little bag of tricks ready for backup. A little plan. Once again, part of this preparation, a few activities that are ready. Maybe a game. When she's teaching Key of Liberty, she has this game ready for the memorization of the Declaration of Independence. Just always ready. And if she sees the students need something different to do, a little active thing, then she brings out the game. I know when I was teaching Sword of Freedom last year, when things got a little bit slow, we would pull out the PVC pipe guns, and we would do our drills, and the students loved it. I also like to have at least one inspiring video every class period. I think the students really respond to videos. This last week, we were studying in Georgics, Little Men. And I found this little video clip from a 1940s movie of Little Men. And it was a little bit humorous. It did highlight one portion of the book, but just something to hopefully inspire and sometimes just help us all to connect with some laughter. So that preparation with these activities is really important. I know for me as a mentor, one of my struggles, especially with as a practice scholar mentor, is coming up with those activities. My other struggle is talking too long on the lectures. And so I try to really work on making sure that I prepare and that I always have an activity for the practice scholars, because it is so important to them. And they need to practice with what we are teaching them. They need to do some great things. We had a fun time in Georgics a couple weeks ago doing some trust falls. That was our activity. And you know, sometimes the activities don't take a lot of preparation with the trust falls. I just kind of watched a few YouTubes to find out how they worked and to see different people's philosophy about how to do a trust fall and how to set that up and how to do it in pairs and how to do it in larger groups. And that kind of preparation, I didn't have to do anything physical. But then other times I really like to take board games and somehow connect them to the class material that we're studying and trying to inspire my students with. We like to take the game Taboo. That's just an example. Take the game Taboo, and that's a game where you have that loud buzzer, and you have a word at the top of the paper. Like if you're doing Key of Liberty, you have a word at the top of the paper, like maybe George Washington. And then there's words, four or five words underneath it that the person can't say as they're trying to have the other students guess the word George Washington. So with their words, they might say like, oh, this man was a great leader, and he also rode a horse, and he was, but they won't be able to say the words president. They won't be able to say the words
Mount Vernon. You know, there'll be keywords they won't be able to say, so they have to try to describe it without that. That helps me because I don't have to create the game. The game's already created, but then I just adapt it to my class. I love to just use the strengths of your co-mentor, work together, and if someone's super good at the games and activities, have them focus on that. If someone's really good at doing something else, you know, focus on that. So work together. Work together as you're preparing for those activities. And, but that is, once again, part of your preparation. And it's so important. Having those papers ready, feedback for them is really important. They rely on it, and it, it inspires them to continue writing, to continue doing the hard work. And that's part of our preparation, is that hard work of grading their papers and being ready for class. So just in kind of review, so we have the personal preparation, the three things. We have our personal virtue, our character, and then we have our study, our knowledge, which is part of our competence. And then the third thing is our preparation with the activities and the papers, kind of the other class preparation, grading papers.
Yeah, and preparing specifically for the students in your class is so important. I know, you know, things like just having an idea of their personality. If, you know, do you have a bunch of really quiet kids? What can you do to help them open up? And, you know, just looking at what the kids are doing and basing your activities on them is so important. Thanks, Amy.
I love that.
And that's what we're doing. We are focusing on loving our students and seeing them as God sees them, praying for them. One of the things I love about leadership education is that paradigm of seeing every single person as a genius, you know, having that unique mission that God has given them. And it totally changes lives, doesn't it? I mean, being able to see each child, I mean, this kid, I have one son, I love him dearly. I tell him that he's the reason we got into leadership education, because I couldn't figure out what to do with him. And I could label him as my problem child or anything like that, or something like that, but no. I decided, I mean, it was a hard decision. It was much easier to say, oh, he's just my problem kid. I can't do anything with him. But I decided instead to look at him, change my paradigm, which, you know, that was hard work, but I changed my paradigm to see him as a genius. And so instead of saying, oh, he argues about everything, I would say, oh, my gosh, he is going to be such a great lawyer someday, you know? Mm-hmm. And just changing your paradigm to see each of these children as having a gift from God that they are here to share with the world. And loving them for that, and praying for them to help them get the skills and abilities they need to truly use that gift, and, you know, in the best way for the world, to make the world a better place. I love that, being able to share that with the kids and see them in that way, because it really does change lives. I know it's changed mine. It's changed. It's changed my families, and I hope it's changed the lives of all of the people that I've met. But having that paradigm is it's wonderful. I love living this way and seeing the world this way, because every single person makes a difference, and you can love them for that, even if they're causing you problems and you're having to help them redirect their energies in different ways. You know, loving them for that God-given gift and helping them use that in a positive way is such a privilege. It's really fun. Amy, have you ever had a child or a student or a scholar where you've had to do that?
No. Every one of my students and children
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Yes. Yes. I think we all have. Yeah, and I that's where mentoring comes in. I know with my own children, one of my sons, I have four sons and I have five sons. Forgot one. One is only two, so it's only been a couple of years, so I have five sons and two daughters, and one of my sons, I was going through a particularly difficult time in loving him. I was struggling to see his genius, and I got this idea, and I'm sure it didn't come from me, but I got this idea that every night before I went to bed, I needed to write down, kind of on this separate piece of paper, the good things that I noticed about him during the day. And kind of what you were talking about, instead of focusing on the negative, I focused on the good things that I saw him doing. And maybe it was even a little thing, like when I asked him to say the blessing on the food, he agreed. I saw him get up and do his chore without complaining. I mean, it could have, sometimes it was really small things, like he went right to bed. Okay. He got dressed. Some days that was stretching it for me to just even acknowledge, okay, he did these positive things, but that really helped me. And like everything else with mentoring, it's us. It helped me to change my heart, and to see him as God sees him. And I was able to change and really love him and to see and understand his struggles and where he was coming from, instead of a place of angst, a place of love and a lot better understanding. And the other thing that when we're talking about our classrooms, the other part that I like to think of in loving our students is establishing an environment in our classroom, and all of these principles apply to our homes. So I'd say environment in our classrooms and our homes that is loving, that is safe, that is nurturing, that's uplifting, places where our students and our children know that no matter what, they're loved. Even if they choose not to memorize the Declaration or they choose to be disobedient as our children, that we're going to love them no matter what. And that environment is really, really important, and that we don't allow other students or other children to change that or to take away that or to be hurtful to each other, but we, as mentors, that's a really important part we have, is to establish that environment.
That is, it's so important, and it's definitely part of loving them. You know, I had one scholar a couple years ago who was on the autism spectrum, and it was very important to me that he felt safe and nurtured, and we did everything we could to make him feel the love that we had for him within our class, and have that loving environment expressed in our classroom by everyone. And it was so cool, Amy. This young man, you know, we had to make some special accommodations for him because, you know, and we do, you know, each of our scholars, each of our kids are unique individuals, and he definitely was an amazing, unique young man. Anyway, he, every once in a while he'd have to just get up and pace, and that's just how he dealt with kind of overload, is he would just go to the back of the room and pace. And but he would be very monotone and have a very hard time looking you in the eye when he was just walking around or in the class, and he would answer with like one word answers, and he would participate in everything. But I was teaching, he was in my Key of Liberty class, and we found very soon that if we gave him a role to play, if we had some kind of simulation where he could have a role, he would come alive. He would have these different accents, and he would walk differently and all of this. And so we, that year in our class, we tried to incorporate that as much as we could, because we were focusing on, you know, bringing him in. But that made it such a wonderful environment for all of the kids, because they, when he left our Commonwealth eventually, and everybody was, he was a star in our Commonwealth. He still is. If he comes back to visit, he's this wonderful kid, that wonderful young man that has this talent. He ended up playing 3 different roles in our play, our Shakespeare play.
Wow.
It was amazing. One of them was Elvis. You know, you know, it was set in
fantastic.
That time. And it was great. But it's one, it's also one of the hardest jobs as our mentors, you know, and that's what really separates us from being just teachers. It's that we are using that, our spiritual eyes, to see every single one of our kids. Because, I mean, I keep going back from, you know, scholars, students, kids. They're all my kids when they're in my class. When they're in my Commonwealth, they're all my kids. And, you know, we need to, you know, we're mentors because we're seeing them as individuals on their own path, having their individual mission. And as mentors, we're helping them go along that path, rather than just, you know, dumping a bunch of knowledge into their heads. You know, we are seeing them as those individuals and loving them and helping them on their path. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that is, to be honest, I think that is the most important thing for us to remember when we're preparing for our classes. And that is what, you know, that spiritual creation is all about, is, you know, seeing how we need to meet the needs and help these young people on their path to do what God wants them to do. And so
I agree, Heidi. It's so important, and I think great mentors are able to do that, to see the individual and to love them and to work to find what they need to help them.
Yeah.
One of the ways that I try to think about is, especially as we start a new year, is how to develop relationships with my students to show them love. And even just think about, you know, we have one new student in our school, and well, we have multiple, but one new student in our school that's also in my class. And I just realized the other day, you know, I don't know that much about her family. I don't know that much about her. What does she like to do? You know, a lot of times these kinds of things won't come up in class, but they can really go a long way to establishing a relationship of trust. If she, if I take some time, maybe in the few minutes while everyone's gathering before class starts, or if I see her in the hall, to, you know, ask about her life, and find out what she's interested in, so that I can connect better with her, and so that I can be more inspiring, and so that I'll be able to help her learn and grow. I think smiling can go a long way, and giving giving positive feedback, but not just fluffy, oh, good, yay, but really specific feedback in their papers, in their comments. I really like the way you're thinking about that, and I've never thought about that before, and that insight really has impressed me because of the way it connects over here, you know, really giving them real feedback and just listening. Listening to them is one of the most important ways to show them that we love them and to develop a relationship with them. They need to be heard and validated and know that we care about them.
Yeah, that is so important. Well, today we have covered spiritual creation and preparation in regards to the needs of the individual. We started talking about spiritual creation and that know, feel, and do, and developing a plan and how to implement that, how to test your ideas on that know, feel, do, and the scholarship ladders. And how we also talked about personal preparation and how personal virtue and studying and that preparation is so important. But really the number one thing that everyone needs to remember, it's all about loving our students. And we need to pray for them. We need to establish that environment in the classroom. We need to see everyone as a unique individual and develop those relationships with our students to help them go forward and make the world a better place by sharing their mission and being leaders. And I know, Amy, you have a story for us for our conclusion.
I do, yeah. I wanted to share a story from Little Men. I talked about how I'm mentoring Georgics this year. It's my first time, and I'm so excited. And we got to read and discuss Little Men this past week, and it's one of my favorite books. I just love it for so many reasons. But one of the main reasons is that the bears, the leaders of that family, which is also a school, they are such incredible mentors. And the feeling that they set up in their family, in their school, is something that I aspire to create in my own home and in my own Commonwealth classroom. And I think about the way they love each one of those little boys. They saw them for who they were. They saw them as a budding musician, or as a budding entrepreneur, or as a budding gardener. Whatever their little skills were, they saw those. They took the time to nurture and help each one of those boys develop those skills. And they saw that genius in them. They saw who they could become. And they also were willing to take a chance on some maybe not so, oh, I don't know, conforming boys. Maybe some boys who didn't fit the mold of the kind of boys they would want to have as an influence in their school. But they felt like it was the right thing to do. They took on little Dan, who was just did not have good influences in his life and was very rough around the edges. And yet they loved him. And even when he made mistakes and they had to set a boundary and they had to have him leave the school, and then he comes crawling back and they find him outside and they still love him. They bring him in and nurture him back to health and still love him and believe in him. And I admire that so much. And I think that that is what we are called to do and what the kind of mentors that we want to be for our students. I want to share a quote from Little Men, and that talks about this. Mrs. Jo sat smiling over her book as she built castles in the air, just as she used to when she was a girl. Only then they were for herself, and now they were for other people, which is the reason perhaps that some of them came to pass in reality for charity as an excellent foundation to build anything upon. I really like that concept, and I think it goes along with what we've been talking about today, and that is the idea of us as mentors, like Jo, sitting there contemplating these castles in the air. She was contemplating castles in the air for her little boys, for her little men. Even just that term, she didn't just see them as little boys, but she saw them for the men that they were becoming. That's who our students are. They're little men. They're little women. Before we know it, they are going to be the ones who are leading and teaching, and they're going to be the ones who are mentors. And it's our privilege to have the chance to mentor them. And if we will take the time to build the castles in the air, to do the spiritual preparation, then we will be better able to see them for who they are and to be truly great mentors. And that is our call for today. It's a couple minutes after 9, so we will end the call. But we just want to reiterate what Tiffany said, that we welcome your questions and encourage you to send your mentor reports to Melanie. But also, if you have any questions specifically about today, send those. You can send those to Melanie, or you can even email us directly. My email is bowler_amy@hotmail, bowler_amy@hotmail.
And mine is home.ec.heidi, homeeconomics, @gmail.com.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being with us, for taking the time out on a busy Saturday morning to learn how to be a better mentor. You'll be blessed, and we wish you the greatest of everything in your journey in the weeks to come.
Have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful year.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.